760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you give us that joy back exponentially. I'm Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLule.
Good morning on this beautiful, cool morning.
Yes.
Fall is in the air, though it's going to get a little warm today.
I can smell the pumpkin spice.
I know.
And speaking of sweet aromas, I believe that prayer is definitely a beautiful aroma for the heart. Allison, do you have a prayer for us this morning?
Yep, let's start. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for all the trials. We know you see us and you have a special plan for each one of us. So we just glorify you. With that, help us to trust you every single day and help us to lean on you for direction where you are calling us. And just bless us all as we start our day in our cars, wherever we are, and just glorify your holy name. We say this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Mother Mary,
pray for us.
Man, sometimes we need those prayers from other people. As you know, I'm kind of coming off the high of my trip.
You are.
To Rome for
yes.
The canonization of Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. And you were mentioning, by the way, you said that it's a little bit crazy for you right now, sporting and games and things with your kids. Is that right?
Yeah, no, it is. Again, school, everybody always says when you start school, it takes a couple months just to kind of get in the swing of things. But there are, as a single mom, there are so many moving parts. And my kids are older now. You know, I've got a 10th grader, I've got a 6th grader, and I've got an 8th grader. My daughter, she's going to be trying out for a basketball team. She's going to be playing flag football for her school team, is on a travel flag football team. My son plays academy soccer, and my sweet youngest daughter, she's, you know, in band. But there's so many moving parts and just trying to keep things in order. So I am not on. You're coming off your high. I am constantly in
the high mode.
Where I'm like, okay, Lord, let me move from step to step.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, right? You try to like live in the midst of this controlled chaos, but it's also beautiful at the same time, right? It's like we embrace the inconveniences God has for us because they help us grow. Now, sometimes those inconveniences can be, I would say, self-imposed. I was on this trip, as you know, and one of these days, actually had the privilege of going with a friend to Carrara, which is like the number one exporter of marble in the world. They have this very nice, like swanky marble that is like mined out of the mountains. If you go up the mountains, by the way, it's literally like time traveling. Like there are these old school villages that are just kind of baked into the side of the Alps. Really beautiful. And then we went to Lucca to see the tomb of St. Gemma and then closed it out in Florence with Mass.
Oh, wow.
But on the way back, we missed the train.
Did you?
We missed the. I end up getting back to the Legionary Seminary about 12:30 at night, which not the best PR if you're endorsement, character endorsement from another priest.
What is this? They'll be like, what is this guy coming in late?
Well, luckily nobody was up at the time, but here's the thing. You know, when you're tired, you get pretty delirious, right?
Yes.
So I go in to, I know the gate code, I get into the gate, I walk up to the front door of the seminary, I pull the door, and it won't open.
Oh, Josh.
And I am spinning at this point. I'm thinking, oh, no. What am I going to do?
Out.
Am I going to do a walking rosary till like 6 o'clock in the morning? Am I going to sleep in a bush? That's not a really good look.
I sleep in a bush.
And I'm marching, and I literally start frantically calling hotels. I'm like, oh, do you guys have a room? And I called two places.
Yeah.
I couldn't get anything. I am freaking out. You know, again, I'm just I remember just pulling that door, and I was just like, no.
Oh, no, Josh.
So I go back up to the door. I'm like, Lord, please help me. I know you love me, and this isn't this isn't what you want. And I try one more time. Now, keep in mind, I was pulling. It wasn't working. And this time, I pushed, and it opened.
Oh, my gosh. Josh, you are so special. Do you know that?
I think a lot of people would have agreed with that statement at the moment. So You know, it's sometimes, you know, we just have to embrace the craziness of life. And in the midst of those tornadoes, take a breath and say, God, help me. Because it's like that phrase, when you don't know what to do, count to 10. When you do know what to do, count to 100.
Yes.
But definitely put prayer in the center.
Well, and you did. And I know it sounds crazy, but you put the prayer in and then you pushed it after that a couple times. So I seriously, you calm down. You just ask the Lord to come into the situation. Yeah. And hello.
And I do think that that moment of grace was certainly punctuated by prayer. If I had not prayed, I think I would have just left the place and been frantically calling hotels.
Absolutely,
versus,
you would have.
You know, kind of stepping outside of that, let's just say, sequence of stupidity or exhaustion that was going
on.
I would
say exhaustion.
Yeah, exactly.
Exhaustion.
But it's just a reminder, hey, when you don't know what to do, I heard a priest say, a lot of people go, well, when I don't know what to do, so I guess I'll just pray. And it's like, no, that's the best thing you can
Absolutely.
Do. That's not the last resort, it's the first resort.
Absolutely.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
We've got an action-packed episode for you today. Our dear friend Brenda Stoll is going to be talking about the new implementations happening at Gwinnett Schools on sexual education that have parents quite concerned. My buddy Chuck Persian helps us get acquainted with St. Francis Xavier. Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior, unpacks today's gospel reading. And next, myself, Mari, and Alessandra are going to be talking about our time in Rome. It's going to be fantastic.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:06, and I am so excited to be joined by my very special friends, Mari and Alessandra. Mari hosts The Family Room on, is it Wednesdays?
Wednesdays at 11.
Oh, one of the best shows in America. I love it.
I love it.
And Alessandra is our Friday producer, and she has a very impressive resume, is a television producer. She's a rock star. We're so grateful that she is here with us. Great morning, now that you're here. And how are we doing after the incredible trip to Rome for the canonization?
Well, we are recuperating from the jet lag, and for the real fast travel that we had was like only 5 days. It was like kind of tiring, but blessed
Amen.
At the same time.
Very blessed. Same thing. Yeah, coming off that high, right?
Yeah,
incredibly spiritual high, and then coming back here, the brakes come on. You're like, oh, I'm back in real
life.
Back
to reality.
It's just it's like you're literally stepping into Narnia, and then the moment you re-experience Atlanta traffic, it's like it's over.
Josh, that's true.
And by the way, I want to start with you, Mari. So this event had an international flair to it, right? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was so beautiful. First of all, like you, I got a chance to stay. I stayed actually in a convent, it was a convent of nuns, the Oblate Sisters of Divine Love. They were founded by an Italian nun, but the nuns who hosted us were all from Costa Rica. They were so adorable, and at one point, literally, while we're talking, and I have one nun talking to me in one ear in Spanish, and I have a priest talking to me in the other ear in Italian, and they're both so excited about their story they're telling, and I'm like, my brain's about to explode. But it was so very fun. It was awesome. And then when we got to, so we're going to talk about the canonization today, right? When we got to the canonization, oh my gosh, you guys, it was so beautiful. The number of people there from so many countries, they were so on fire. They were so excited. And I sat down, I got there at 4:30 in the morning, because I went with some other friends of mine who did not have press passes, so they could just slide right in like we could have been able to do. So I went at 4:30 in the morning, and I was sitting there, and I was sat down next to these precious nuns, and I said, well, where are you from? They were from an island called Miraflores in Indonesia.
Wow.
An island in Indonesia. And then another group of nuns were from the island of Madagascar.
Wow.
And then there were some adorable students, college students from South Alabama. They were from University of South Alabama. Isn't that so precious? All in our little, you know, because you're squashed into the crowd, you know, so just all around where we could see French, Czech Republic, Alabama.
Yes.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And then when we got in there, all the different languages, right? When we got, even Hebrew and Korean, the lectors were speaking during the ceremony. So I just thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And one thing I loved is you sent me a picture, I think it was around 5:30 in the morning, of what the streets were like out there. You would have thought somebody had won the World Cup.
Yes.
Yeah. To think that that many people, there's that much holy pandemonium on the streets as a result of celebrating lives of heroic virtue. It's just so countercultural.
Well, you know what's so beautiful, too? The universality. I mean, all these different people from different countries, from the United States, are all there for one purpose.
One purpose,
to be in the presence where they can see these two awesome men become holy saints. And we're all in communion with each other. Yeah. It doesn't get better than that wherever we are in the world.
Amen. And by the way, Alessandra, you've got some interesting facts about how Carlo Acutis' family, one of the canonized saints, was involved in this service.
Yeah, for me, it was like the most moving parts were the parts where the family was involved. So his brother, Michele, who is 14 years old, read the first reading in English. And it was a reading from the Book of Wisdom. And the title, well, we can say title is Who Can Discern What the Lord Wills? It was very touching. And then during the homily, Pope Leo mentioned Carlo's family. And he said that Carlo encountered Jesus firstly in his family, thanks to his parents, Andrea and Antonia, who were there. And one of, like, very, very touching part is that Carlo's mother was only the second mother to watch a child to be canonized after the mother of Saint Maria Goretti was present on her canonization in 1950.
That's amazing. So. And I could be wrong, feel free to fact check me, but I would dare to say that's probably the only time an entire family has been present at a canonization. Because the father was there as well.
The father was there, and the brother and the sister, they are twins. And they were born in 2008. It was like 2 years after Carlo died. And they were born in the same day that Carlo died.
Oh, and I think the parents were told that they wouldn't be able to conceive again as well.
The mother said that they tried to conceive for a long time and they couldn't.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. And by the way, so Mari, for you, what was the most touching part of the service?
You know, it was probably something that wasn't necessarily on any of the scripts, because about 30 minutes before the canonization started, Pope Leo just nonchalantly in his white cassock walks out of the front.
Yeah.
And the crowd went insane. They love him so much. It's so cool. And he had just two guys walking with him. And he just nonchalantly strode to the front of the dais right before, in front of the altar, and just starts talking. No notes, no nothing. For about 10 minutes, he just spoke in Italian.
Wow.
And it was almost like he was just saying, welcome into my home.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're here.
Yes.
And he was shouting out to, you know, all the people from all around the world, the different countries, and how what a wonderful time this was. I think that was the most touching for me because it was just so personal and so intimate and so real. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
And it was his first, like, big event.
Yeah.
Was it?
This one, like, the canonization was the biggest event.
Oh, my. Wow, that's really cool. And I remember when I showed up, because, Mari, you got there at, like, 4:30 in the morning to really soak it in. I was more of a buzzer beater, arriving around 9:30. And there was a line that may have been a quarter mile long. And I remember this cab driver just took me to the front, and I showed this press pass, you know, with the Quest VIP press pass. And the policia just opened the gate, and I walked right through it. I thought, I must be the least liked person in this line. Everyone's looking at me going, this is exactly what's wrong with America. You know, the only thing worse is if I turned around and just chanted USA. But, but I described it. It was like being at heaven's doorstep, knowing that your best friends had made it home.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And, I mean, that was so. And by the way, I want to share this one last story really quick. Is when we were at an event, I think a day or two before, it was a young adult event at a venue near the Vatican. And they were talking about Carlo Acutis. And a father stood up and he started to share, you know, my son had leukemia and was on the precipice of death, literally moments from dying. And we had been praying to Carlo Acutis, you know, asking for his intercession, prayerful intercession. And my son lived. And he's crying.
Lord.
He's crying. And the son was, and he said, my son is right here.
Oh my gosh.
And then the son stood up and gave his testimony. And this is a very healthy 23-year-old man. And they were in the process of filling out the papers for Verified Miracles to petition Carlos Costa as the second miracle.
Gosh.
But before they finished the paperwork, another miracle went through.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Can I say one more quick
thing?
Yes,
please do.
So as we're going, as I said, 4:30 in the morning, crowds of people, we're toward the front. It starts getting squashed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how people die, right? People squash, squash, squash. And literally the cute little Irish woman behind me just started singing, here I am to worship, here I am to bow. And we all started singing that.
Oh,
and it was just like the reminder of what are we here for?
Yes.
We're here to worship God, to bow down before him, to say he's our Lord. And everybody just calmed down. So just a reminder, once again, Josh, your prayer time, right?
Amen.
That's absolutely, yeah. Thank you guys so much. What a beautiful witness, especially Alessandra, pointing out the family dynamic. And I might just ask really quick, just 10, 15 seconds, Alessandra, like as a mother and seeing this family involved in this, what does this mean to you about, you know, the importance of a holy household? Or, you know, what inspiration does this give you as a mother? Because your whole family was there with you.
Yeah, for me, it was important. Like, we went for the first tentative of canonization in April that Pope Francis died.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
My son couldn't go on that opportunity because he had classes. But this time he was able to go there. And for me, it was very important because when I learned about Carlo and what he's done and everything, my son was also 16 years old. So it's something that drew me close to Carlo to see him as an example of sainthood and all that he did for the young people. So it was really touching.
That was wonderful. It's beautiful to see that family witness there as well. Thank you guys so much for an amazing experience and sharing the good news live today. We are truly grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Closing us out strong, Brenda Stoll, parishioner at St. Pius and Conyers, returns with news on troubling new sex ed plans being implemented in Gwinnett schools this fall. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Francis Xavier. But next, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, unpacks today's gospel reading.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:20.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, is back, and he is going to be diving into this morning's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, guys. Let's jump right in our continuation with the Gospel of Luke. It says that raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, everyone, today's gospel, Jesus gives us this beautiful message that kind of flips the world's idea of success upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Not just back then, but even today. You know, blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich. These are literally the opposites of what so many of us strive for. Nobody's striving for poverty, you know, and nobody's, everybody's striving for riches, I assume. He isn't condemning wealth or comfort, though. I just want to be very clear about that. It's not inherently sinful to be comfortable or to be wealthy, but he's reminding us that true security, all that stuff we're striving for, that security, that place in the world, joy that we look for, happiness, it can't come from those earthly things we seek. The poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, they're blessed not because suffering is good. They're not blessed because they're poor and hungry and sorrowful. No, they're blessed because in their need, they're open to God's love, to his mercy, and they're open in a way that self-sufficiency can't match.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's easy, a lot of times, easy for us to get caught up in and measuring success by what we have or what we earn or how comfortable life feels. I think we've all, you know, done that at some point. You know, I'm successful because I've reached this level of status in my neighborhood amongst my friends, or I've gotten X number of promotions, and so, you know, I'm succeeding in life because my bank account has this many zeros on the end of it. Actually, mine has a lot of zeros. It's just no numbers in front of the zeros.
Yeah, you know, I make
I'm really successful.
I know, you know, I make six figures, Father. Just don't count the decimal.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. So I think Jesus calls us to look deeper, right, past all of that stuff, and to look to the heart of it. I think of a man who I knew once who lost his job. And instead of despair, he took a different approach. He said, you know, I don't know what comes next. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I don't know what comes next, but I know that God is with me. And it's that level of trust and dependence, that peace in the midst of the struggle, that's what Jesus is talking about, and that's what we really should all be striving for. I think the Beatitudes remind us that real happiness doesn't come from possessions or status, but it comes from trusting God and putting God first.
Yeah, that's a great word. And I look at this, you bring a great point, Father. We typically think that the opposite of these things, right? Like anything that's antithetical in nature to these is when you're in the win column. Blessed are you who are rich. Blessed are you who are filled. Blessed are you when people cheer you. I mean, that's typically what the world co-signs as success. Yeah. And looking at this now, I think there's an immediate, you know, an interior jolt that people might rightfully get. But, I mean, I think it was St. Rose of Lima that said the greatest ladder to heaven is through suffering.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you look at... Wow, you could look at pretty much any saint, really. I mean, none of them really had it on easy street, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, suffering has always been this redemptive and purgative and healing thing. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but something that that brings us closer to Christ. I want to be very clear, though. I don't want people to think that there's all this suffering in the world and it's all good because, you know, this brings us closer to Jesus. It's not suffering for the sake of suffering.
Exactly.
It's suffering for the sake of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so if we can't bring that courage, or we don't have that trust to combine our suffering with the suffering that's on the cross, with Christ himself, that's when that suffering becomes meaningless or has no point.
Yeah.
It's because of Christ's suffering that it gives meaning and purpose to our struggles and our crosses and our trials and tribulations. And so, you know, it's easy to, like you said, it's easy to, you know, a lot of us, we say, oh, we want to strive for the glory and the fame and the money and all the worldly things to be successful. It's a lot different when you say, you know, my success comes in humility. My success comes by combining my suffering with Christ, that my strength is derived in my weakness.
Amen. And St. John Chrysostom has a quote. This is so powerful what you're sharing, Father, because wherever God has us in life, that response should be a humble, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? And it might be tough to say that at times, but St. John Chrysostom has a quote that says, he's not saying riches are evil, but that those who cling to them, forgetting God, have already received their comfort. And so it's just such a poignant reminder that you're sharing, too. It's not that material poverty is necessarily a great thing or a bad thing, right. But it's the interior hunger, right? Recognizing that dependence on God and hungering
everything.
For him. Yeah,
absolutely. It is about that interior hunger. You know, it's... And it's how you feed that hunger. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you get in trouble with your wealth or even in your poverty. And so in wealth, when you have that interior hunger and you have so much wealth that you feed that hunger with worldly things, that's where it's woe is you type scenario. You know, that's where you start to falter. And just as wealth and comfort is not inherently bad, that poverty and that suffering isn't inherently good. Mm-hmm. If in your poverty you're thinking, oh, I want to get out of this, and you're constantly striving to feed that hunger, poverty, to feed it with worldly things, thinking that's going to get you out, that's going to bring you the comfort, that's going to bring you the peace that you need in this time of suffering, that's when it's also woe is you.
Mm.
You know? it's this dependence on God. The poverty and the wealth are trivial. I mean, that's just anecdotal. You know, that's just the situation you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, where is your heart? And are you getting your strength to persevere through that poverty from God, or are you getting your strength to persevere, you know, in your wealth? Are you finding the courage and the strength to share that and to be Christian in that, or is that where you find your strength in the wealth or in God or whatnot?
Wow, that's
that makes
good
sense. I feel like I'm rambling at this point.
That's a great word, Father. No, absolutely. And you're basically saying, are we clinging on to a peace that is or isn't circumstantial? Because the bank account, the public acclaim, all that stuff's transitory.
Mm-hmm. Can be gone tomorrow.
It absolutely. But all the wealth and all the success can be gone tomorrow, and all the poverty and all the suffering can be gone tomorrow. Everything this world offers, good or bad, it leaves tomorrow. You know, and all you're left with is what did you try to cling on to? Were you clinging on to that which can be gone, or were you trying to cling on to that which is eternal?
And that might be the good takeaway, Father, right? What are we clinging on to?
Absolutely. We should all ask ourselves, am I placing my hope in what I have or in the one who holds the future?
Beautiful. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia.
Thank you, guys.
Half a million pilgrims have, check this out, already visited the tomb of St. Carlo Acutis this year. Actually, over 620,000 in just the first 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
That is.
The Diocese of Assisi says that August alone brought more than 121,000 visitors as young people flocked to mark the Jubilee of Youth and celebrate Carlo's canonization by Pope Leo XIV that happened just last Sunday.
No, it's amazing. And as a mother of youth, teens and almost teens, this makes me so happy.
Yeah, really. Yeah, definitely a cool pilgrimage to take your kids to if that's where the Lord has you in life. By the way, the 15-year-old computer savvy teen who died of leukemia in 2006 is entombed at the Church of St. Mary Major in Assisi, where pilgrims can see his body dressed in jeans and sneakers and pray at his tomb. And at Mass, at a Mass of Thanksgiving on Monday, Assisi's Archbishop reminded the faithful that sainthood is a call for everyone. St. Carlo's path was simple, to welcome all of God's gifts and live fully for him. And by the way, this canonization I went to, Allison, you look up there and you realize on these banners are these two saints, both under 24.
Mm.
Neither had a career.
Yes.
Neither had a proclaimed vocation.
Yes.
And by secular standards, neither had accomplished anything that would, you know, be deemed as monumental.
Yeah.
But they humbly gave God their yes and lived for them in the lane that he had them in at that moment.
And miracles have happened.
Miracles have happened. Amen. A reminder that holiness and sanctity is possible for all.
Amen.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Coming up on the Morning Quest, closing us out strong, Brenda Stoll is going to be unpacking the changes taking place at Gwinnett County sex ed curriculums and how parents are voicing their concerns. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with the saint of the day.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. So back on September 5th, we celebrated the memorial of St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Yep.
Great modern-day saint that most of us remember. Lived through her sainthood and watched her great charitable example. And we discussed on the air and made note of the fact that she is the co-patron saint of the Archdiocese of Calcutta.
Yes.
And I wondered aloud who shared that patronage with her. I thought that maybe it had been St. Thomas the Apostle because of his great evangelical work throughout India. But as is almost always the case, I was wrong.
Oh, Chuck.
The co-patron saint of the Archdiocese of Calcutta is actually St. Francis Xavier.
Oh.
And at that time, when we were wondering who it was, we said that maybe we would do a segment on whoever that saint was later on in the month. So today,
here we are.
We make good on that promise.
We sure do.
And we're going to discuss this great Jesuit evangelical globetrotter, St. Francis Xavier. Born into a noble Spanish family, Francis Xavier's path would eventually intersect with the man who would go on to become Saint Ignatius of Loyola, mm-hmm. another great famous saint. And this happened while they were studying at the University of Paris. Francis was almost 10 years younger than Ignatius, who had already experienced a major transformation and conversion at the heels of an injury he suffered in battle. Ignatius was a soldier prior to pursuing his priestly vocation, whereas Francis Xavier grew up achieving much success as an athlete.
Oh.
I'm not sure if our listeners knew that. Most notably in track and field, the high jump was his specialty. He was also known as an outstanding student while in the seminary. So as we're talking here, you know, for those student athletes who are going back to school.
Yes.
I know we call upon Saint Sebastian. He is the patron saint of athletes. But Saint Francis Xavier,
mm-hmm.
another good saint
another
to call
one.
Upon as you prepare for your seasons. I wish you all good luck.
Yes.
As the seasons come up. But again, these men were ordained together and would become lifetime friends, co-founding the Society of Jesus, which is perhaps better known as the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
St. Francis Xavier proclaimed Jesus' salvific message from Portugal to Japan, baptizing over 30,000 people along the way. And this was a quote of his. He said, "I want to be where they are out and out pagans," he would often say. And this is a nod to his evangelical zeal and desire to spread the word of God far and wide, especially to those who had never heard it.
Yes.
He died in Shangguan Island of an acute illness while preparing to evangelize China. He was canonized on March the 12th in the year 1622 by Pope Gregory the 15th. His feast day is in December 3rd, so we typically celebrate him during the opening days of the Advent season. But once again, another great evangelical globetrotter, as mm-hmm. I like to refer to him, a man who spread the faith far and wide. And we thought we would discuss him again. Let's not forget the profound impact he had in India.
Yes.
Along with the likes of St. Thomas and, of course, the living example right in our midst. And you even indicated in the segment we discussed St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
She goes beyond the bounds of religion and Christianity. The Hindus in that country greatly adored her as well. So,
oh, yes.
You know, again, these are the great saints who kept our faith moving forward during times of confusion, during times of heresy, and we get a chance to talk about him today.
Yep. Well, some good quotes. "Many, many people hereabouts are not becoming Christians for one reason only. There is nobody to make them Christians."
Yeah.
And it's called. We're all called to be a witness of Christ's love, right?
Yeah. And it's to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
And we've been given this great faith gift. And in fact, Mark 15, verses 16 to 20 is a passage frequently and quite appropriately proclaimed on the memorial of St. Francis Xavier. So remember that when you're going to daily mass on December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus commissions his disciples in this passage, instructing them to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature.
Mm.
And St. Francis did that quite literally. And you know, to your point, Allison, this too is our vocation.
Yep, it sure is. Listen to this quote. "It is impossible to find a saint who did not take the two P's seriously. Prayer and penance."
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Vibrant prayer life is so important. And we've discussed some saints recently whose prayer lives were so profound. St. Joseph of Cupertino, his prayer life was so profound that he would levitate.
Yes, yes.
People would come to him and they would want to know, like, show me how to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
So I too can float.
Well, and how easy it is, right, to be distracted.
Oh,
I'm like a busy mom here with kids and sports. And we've got to slow down.
Yeah.
Or, like, even if we're sometimes when we're driving home, I'll be like, okay, let's pray the rosary on the car ride home.
Yes.
I mean, just making time for prayer. Because if you don't make time for it, you won't do it.
Yep. And you got to persevere through the distractions. You know, there are times when I pray a rosary and I feel like I got maybe three or four decent Hail Marys out of the whole thing in terms of, you know, giving God the attention here. So richly deserves.
Yes.
But we just got to fight through it. And when we find ourselves getting distracted, perhaps we pause and we just say, "Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner."
Yes.
And get right back to it.
Help me. Help me stay focused on you. And penance, again, reconciliation. We all fall.
Yeah.
If anybody's like me, goodness gracious, we need to do it quite often.
We do.
But truly, penance is that's one of the greatest gifts we have, going to reconciliation, to be reconciled with Christ.
It really is.
Another quote, "Tell the students to give up their small ambitions and come eastward to preach the gospel of Christ." There's another quote here, too. He said, give me the children until they are seven, and anyone may have them afterward. So it just talks, and yeah. As I was telling you, oh, man.
Yeah, those are the formative years.
Yes.
And, you know, for those young parents who are listening, if you have children there right now, they're 2 and 3 years old, four years old, just remember, these are the key years. This is what they'll remember, and this is how they are formed.
Yes.
And this is the life that they'll go on to live.
Live your faith. Live it lively.
And if they're past the age of seven, it's not too late.
It's not too late.
To model the faith for them.
Amen.
Yeah. As I like to say, if one were to discover a cure for cancer, it would be inconceivable to hide it from the rest of mankind. So how much more inconceivable would it be to keep silent the cure for the eternal wages of death?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We need to spread the word. It's too good a message to not share.
Yes,
And to do it fearlessly.
Yeah. And if we don't feel this in our hearts to share, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, what is holding us back, right? Yeah. Yep. Give us the strength and the ambition to go out there and want to share.
Yeah, to model the faith. And you don't have to be eloquent about
it.
No. It's more about your actions. They're watching your actions.
Yes.
They'll listen to your words, but until they see it in action.
Bingo.
They're not going to believe them anyway.
Actions speak louder than words. He is a patron saint of Catholic missions as well.
Very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Tireless missionary, baptizing 30,000 people. You know, it's amazing. That is a truly amazing number. Let's say that. But St. Peter Claver, just a few days ago.
300,000, right?
300,000.
I know. I'm just like, Holy Spirit, give us the ambition to go out there and make disciples of many.
Yeah.
You know?
And each man was called to a different station in life, of course. He was baptizing the slaves as they were coming off the boats.
Yes.
But in the case of St. Francis Xavier, again, 30,000 is nothing to sneeze about, but the fact that he would travel far and wide into the, as he'd like to say, you know, bring me to where the pagans are.
Yes.
Because I want to start right from the beginning and I want to give them what I have.
Yes, you know, the greatest gift, right? Yeah. The greatest gift we can have. Yeah,
the opportunity for eternal life. And, you know, oftentimes we hear people say, well, is there salvation outside of the Catholic Church? But the better question might be, what are we doing to help those who are outside of the Catholic Church to bring them in?
Well, and that's why I love our station, The Quest, right?
Absolutely.
With all the different conversations we have here on The Morning Quest, saint segments, gospel reflections, just all the different beautiful ministries we have within the Archdiocese to inform those Catholics that might not be active or even those that are outside the church to help them understand who we are and welcome them in.
Yeah, and it's happening. You can feel like God is gathering his people. We've got upwards of 60 people in the OCIA program.
Praise
at St. Michael
God.
The Archangel. And here's an even more staggering number. And I heard this coming out of church the other day, and I'd love for someone from St. Catherine of Siena to call in to confirm this. But someone had mentioned to me, because I'm not affiliated with the St. Catherine of Siena OCIA program, 120 people in their program this year? Is that possible?
Wow. Hey, with God, all things are possible.
That's incredible.
And I think during the show last week, there was an article that we had read talking about the growth in the church.
Yeah.
A lot of the youth are just coming quickly into the church. So, it's exciting.
The numbers are turning.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are starting to realize that the hole can't be filled with a BMW or a vacation to Aruba.
I know.
These things are all fleeting. They're not bad things.
Yes, they don't fill. They don't fulfill. That's a thing.
It's junk food.
Mm-hmm.
The heavenly banquet is what fulfills and what sustains in the bigger picture.
Amen.
And when we see a man like St. Francis of Xavier, it's an inspiration to all of us to go out into the world and to preach the gospel.
Amen.
St. Francis Xavier.
Pray for us.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
It is 8:42. And Allison, there may be people out there that are wondering, what should I do with this pull God has on my heart? That maybe this seed he has planted, and it can go in a bunch of different directions. You've got a pretty inspiring story for
us. No, I did. I found a neat article on Church Pop. You know, the title, A Young Woman's Bold Choice That Will Inspire Your Heart. So here it goes. You know, I wanted to share the incredible story that's going to make you think differently about following your dreams and trusting God's plan for your life. So meet Paloma. She's just 24 years old, and she made a decision that might surprise you and all of us. Instead of climbing the corporate ladder or building a traditional family, she chose to become a cloistered Carmelite nun in Argentina. But here's what's beautiful about her story. She doesn't see this as giving anything up. She sees it as gaining everything. Paloma, she grew up in a faithful family, but like many young people, she was busy, active, involved in everything. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
It does for me. And during the COVID lockdown, something hit her. She realized she was everywhere but nowhere at the same time, and her heart felt empty. And despite all her good works, she just felt like something was not there. Something was missing. So listen to what she discovered. During that mandatory break, she realized that in that active apostolate, she was everywhere, but at the same time, her heart wasn't anywhere. She was happy, but didn't feel fulfilled. So how many of us feel that way? I totally feel like I'm spinning my wheels, doing what I got to do, right? But just feel like there's more. So we're checking all the boxes, doing all the right things, but sometimes they're still missing. So the story gets really powerful when she finally felt God calling her to religious life. She didn't hesitate. She said, "When I realized there wasn't anything preventing me from responding to God's call, I knew it. I didn't want to wait any longer." So she kind of felt something missing. And she just said, "I'm going to go for it," because she felt that tug.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm looking at pictures. This woman, she's beautiful. And I don't mean that in you know, an objectifying way or anything, but she's a beautiful young woman. And many could argue, hey, there are so many paths that would be open to you in this life, marriage, a great career. And yet the joy that is radiating from her face.
Oh, I know. That picture is amazing.
As she says yes to this. To the Discalced Carmelites and cloistered, being a cloistered nun. It is infectious. You can see God's glow radiating off of her.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yes. Sister Paloma's joy, it is contagious. I mean, look at us talking about it right now, because she's living authentically, courageously, and completely for love. So what's God calling you to do with that same kind of bold, fearless love?
Amen.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
We are closing out very strong with our friend Ben DeStoll, parishioner at St. Pius the 10th in Conyers, talking about the new sex ed plans being implemented in Gwinnett schools this fall that have parents concerned and speaking out.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are back with Brenda Stoll, parishioner at St. Pius X in Conyers, discussing the new sex ed plans being implemented in Gwinnett schools that have parents concerned. How are you, Brenda?
I am fine. Thank you so much for having me on the show and to get this word out.
Oh, it's so important. So important. You know, when we had you on last year, around this time, talking about DeKalb County and what was going to happen. So, and there were many concerns about sex education changes in Gwinnett County public schools. Can you tell us what those changes are? Because some things are happening right now.
Right. Okay. So I think what I want to start off with is by briefly explaining what Gwinnett has been using over the last few years, and then what they're going to be changing to so that people can see the radical differences. So for over 20 years, Gwinnett has been using Choosing the Best, which is an abstinence-centered program, and they've been using this in middle school and high school. And this program teaches abstinence in a positive way by teaching the benefits of delaying sex until marriage. And it teaches students who have already had sex that it is never too late to choose abstinence.
Hmm.
And so while it's teaching, yes, that's very important too. So while teaching students that there is a beauty of sex within marriage, they also help them to know that when it goes outside of marriage, that that's when problems happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps them to understand that there are teen sex, there's a lot of physical complications and consequences. There are emotional consequences. They help them understand that. And they teach them that while condoms and birth control might reduce pregnancy and STDs, they have failure rates. They make sure they understand what those failure rates are. And so this program has really worked very well. While Gwinnett has been using it, its teen pregnancy rate has decreased by 75%, and its teen pregnancy and STD rates are significantly lower and consistently lower than in counties that use programs that promote condoms and birth control. I also want to say that they've been using this program for over 20 years now, but that doesn't mean this is an outdated program. Choosing the Best frequently updates its programs to keep up with medical knowledge, and it is completely aligned with the latest Georgia health education standards that were approved in 2021. So this is a very updated program.
Oh, yes.
Now, however, Gwinnett County Public Schools have decided to eliminate Choosing the Best. They are planning to pilot so-called comprehensive sex education programs this fall. The programs they chose all promote condoms and birth control to students as young as middle school. They teach them how to obtain them without their parents' knowledge. But they also, when they promote this, they withhold or downplay their failure rates in preventing pregnancy and STDs, which is totally unfair to the kids. These programs also ignore or downplay the emotional consequences of teen sex, which can be very serious. Studies show that teens who are sexually active are much more likely to suffer from depression or are more likely to attempt suicide compared to teens who are abstinent. So, and these programs also teach students as young as middle school how to give and obtain consent for sexual activity, even though the legal age of consent is not until 16 years old. So, I mean, as far as these programs are concerned, if students consent to sexual activity and have their condoms and their birth control, then they are good to go to having sex.
And that's
they
terrible.
They actually teach kids. Yes, they actually teach kids that that is a healthy, responsible behavior. So this is why we are very concerned, teaching kids to be able to appropriately ignore the law on the age of consent, teaching kids that they can go behind their parents' back and get condoms and birth control. And then what happens once you have those condoms and birth control, then you sneak around, find places and times to have sex without being caught. So it's got to start these kids on a very downhill spiral, and then, of course, there's the emotional consequences also.
No, absolutely. And this is in Gwinnett County Public Schools. So that's where this is all going to be taking place.
That's right. And actually, this has been going on. They've been trying to get this in for the last 3 years. And so we're out to try and warn parents about this. There is some good news. There is a way for parents to protect their kids from this. And that is Georgia law allows parents to opt their kids out of any sex ed program that they disapprove of.
Nice.
But it has to be done in writing. And so there's a very, step-by-step way that you have to do this, but it can be done. Parents can protect their children. So that's what we're trying to get the word out on this.
And then how are you getting the word out?
Okay, so what I've been doing, what was done is made a flyer. And on the flyer, the front of the flyer tells all about the sex education changes, what they were teaching, what they're planning to teach, and all the problems with it. And actually has even more than what I told you about on the radio, because some of it is just too inappropriate to say on Catholic radio.
Yeah.
And then on the back of the flyer is the step-by-step how to opt out, who you contact, how you contact them, because there are very specific things. You have to contact both, the health education teacher and the principal. In Gwinnett, they require you to contact the principal. And we're also asking people to contact the school board, too, on this, because they need to know that this is not acceptable. So what I've done so far is I've contacted the religious education directors from all the Catholic churches in Gwinnett, and they have been so open to this and, saying, would you please get the word out to all the parents of your students, because those kids are all in the public school
system. Oh, yes.
And they have been like, thank you for telling us this. We have the flyer. By the way, we have the flyer both in English and in Spanish.
Great.
So, So anyway, we're doing that. We also have it. People can go to a website and get this information. So the website is protectstudenthealth.com. And on the homepage, there's a button that says Gwinnett Urgent. And you just click on it and you can get the flyers in both English and in Spanish.
Oh, my gosh. That is so important.
I should say, this is for 5th to 9th grade kids.
Oh, my gosh. 5th grade, yeah, starting with 5th.
Yeah,
oh, my
because
gosh.
Because there is an elementary program that is for 5th grade that's some concerns in it also. Yeah.
No, that is absolutely horrific just hearing about this. And I feel the more people that go on this website, the more people that, talk to their principals, talk to their, the Board of Education, make them aware, stop, this is not right. And I think the more people that stand up and say this, hopefully they will see the light, but they might not. So it's so essential for anybody that we know that lives in Gwinnett County, where their children or even friends of children that go to Gwinnett County Public Schools, they need to jump on this immediately.
Exactly. Yes, that's what we're hoping. This is going to be a big grassroots effort. Parents, once you opt your kids out, please share it with other parents. No child deserves to be taught this kind of material. And so anyway, that's what we're doing. It's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of miracles to get this to everybody, because Gwinnett is a huge, huge school system. And we're talking thousands and thousands of kids will be affected by this.
Well, you know,
so anyway.
Well, Brenda, I think, you know, I mean, my daughter had played basketball out in that area. There are so many even Protestant schools, too. So if anybody knows of any kids and any child, any parents that you talk to that are in Gwinnett County, I would definitely say share this information with them. Brenda, let's repeat that website where people can go, because we are coming up to the close of the show. So, yeah, can you say that website one more time?
Okay. It's protectstudenthealth.com.
Great.
And like I said, on the page, they have a button that says Gwinnett Urgent that people can click on. They will get the flyers in both English and in Spanish.
Marvelous. No, that is so important, Brenda, for you sharing all this information. And again, as a mom of three, praise God, we're not in Gwinnett County. But still, I mean, if it happens in Gwinnett County, it can happen anywhere, right? So we have to be armed. Right. And if you didn't bring this information to us, truly, we wouldn't have known.
Yep.
So I am so grateful that you are sharing this with everybody.
Yes, it's a wonderful.
Thank you for inviting me to get it out.
Oh, anytime you have a message like this, you are always welcome to come and share it. Because that's what we really pride ourselves on with the show. I mean, we are able to come and share local information that is happening and affecting our families.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brenda, for sharing this very important information. We've been talking with Brenda Stoll, parishioner at St. Pius X in Conyers, discussing the new sex ed plans being implemented in Gwinnett schools that have parents concerned, but praise God, she has shared an alternative.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brenda.
Thank you for having me on.
God bless
you.
Have a
good morning.
Let's close this show out the holy way with a prayer. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.